Look at verse 51 in chapter 9. And it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee with us wherever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in our ignorance, in our weakness. We recognize, Father, that we fail you day after day. Father, we ask you for strength. We ask you for power. Fill us with your love. Give us enough wisdom to choose the right, to know the truth, and Lord, then to live by it so that we might be blessed by that truth. Give us an abundant life. I pray, Lord, for everyone in this room today, I just ask that you'd bless us. If there's anyone in this room that is lost, I pray that they would realize they need you, that they would call upon you and be saved. And every child of God that's here, some of us on the mountaintop and some of us in the valley, some of us in between, I pray to God you'd take every one of us and suit a blessing to meet our needs. Give me freedom and ease to speak that only you can give. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We stopped at verse 50. Last week, Jesus said unto him, forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. You know, there's an awful lot of people out there preaching the gospel. Some of them pretty sincere people. And you know, I've seen God bless some pretty ignorant preachers of the gospel because their hearts are right. They didn't know some things. And some of the people who knew so much, they get shot down because they're filled up with their pride or they're filled up with something else. They're not filled with the love of God. And so God will sometimes bypass you. I've seen God bypass a good work to work on a man. He'll do that, you know. He'll drop you. He'll leave you, hanging, if he has to get your attention. And he can do a lot of things to cost you, to make you think, oh, Lord, sure wish you were back in my life. I sure wish you were close to me. Wish I was close to you again. What happened, Lord? Where did I get off the trail, huh? Easy done. He said, don't be going out there rebuking them not to preach. He said, if they're not against us, they're for us. And, we ought to, if you have some light, you have some truth other people don't have, share it if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. Live in the light you've got by the grace of God, and God will give you more light. When you start doubting the light that God's given you, when you start rejecting the light God's given you, he's not going to give you any more. That's just a simple truth. You buy the truth, you don't sell it for anything. Simple principle. Came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. Jesus is ready. He's through with his earthly ministry. He's ready to head for the cross of Calvary. He's headed for Jerusalem for the last Passover, his last Passover. He's headed to go with his disciples and eat the Passover, which is turned into the Lord's Supper in the New Testament church. But he's going with his last Passover. He's going to eat with his disciples, and he's headed there. And after that, he's going to become the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. He's going to become the one sacrifice for sins forever. You know, if you ever get the truth of the one sacrifice for sins forever, you'll forget thinking about how good you are. You'll forget thinking about man's righteousness. You'll forget thinking you're good enough to make it to heaven. Now, I know a lot of people wouldn't want to doctrinally put it this way, but I've talked to a lot of people in the last 42 years. And there's a whole lot of people believe that God's got a scales up there, you know. And you're good on one side and you're bad on the other. And if your good is 51%, you make it in. If your good's just 48% or 30%, you don't make it. All a matter of works. Many, many, even Christian churches have faith plus works. But if you ever get the picture of Jesus Christ being the one sacrifice for sins, you'll forget all about that religious junk. Amen. That right there takes care of everything. Amen. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't walk a Christian life. That doesn't mean that you don't have to strive. That doesn't mean that you're never going to have a problem with sin again. No, it just means that your debt's been paid. Amen. Praise God, your debt has been paid. What a What a treasure. You can lay down tonight and know whatever happens tonight, my debt's been paid. He said steadfastly, no, it came to pass, he should have received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Do you ever get steadfast? Do you ever set your face steadfastly? Some of you do, I know. I look at some of your faces this morning, they're steadfastly set. Stubborn? I'm glad I'm not that way. I'm so pliable and sweet. Ask Burley. Ask my children. Ask you. Am I not sweet? Everybody gets a big laugh. I understand. Steadfastly. I had a fellow was griping about his father. His father's a strong preacher. And he made the statement and said, well, I don't like being around somebody that's always right. Well, you know, if you didn't have some convictions enough to stand steadfastly against something, why in the world would you ever preach?
That's right, man.
Now, no doubt we're wrong in some of these things, because we're not perfect. The only perfect one is Jesus. The only perfect book's the Bible, so any book I write is going to be imperfect. But think about it a minute. If a man doesn't have some steadfastness in him, how's he going to get anything done? How's he ever going to pastor church? Look at all these wills inside this room right here. There's a lot of wills in here. Stubborn wills. I'm not the only stubborn one in this room. I know some of you. I know I'm not the only one. Jesus set his face steadfastly. I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm not going to let anything keep me from Jerusalem. We're not going to get sidetracked. We're headed for Jerusalem. Jerusalem's the point where I'm going. And so he sends some of his disciples to a Samaritan village. Now you remember the Samaritans, they're half Jews. They were Jews that had been captured and intermarried with the Assyrians, and they had become the Samaritans. They're half Jew, half Syrian. Well, they worshipped at Mount Gerizim. Jerusalem and the Jews, they worshipped at Mount Zion. Now they developed a controversy. Now you think prejudice is new? It's not new. Everybody in this room is prejudiced one way or the other. Some things. Now, some of us are educated out of some of it, but we certainly have some prejudices, all of us. They may be religious, they may be racial, they may be national. I don't know what they might be, but boy, we've got a bunch of them. We got our mind made up on certain things. We feel like certain things are right when they just are our custom, just the way we were raised, just the way we think. The way we pronounce our words, everything. Well, here the Samaritans and the Jews, they almost had no dealings with each other because the Jews looked upon them as half-breeds and therefore outcast and worth nothing. And the Samaritans in their pride said, oh, well, we got a better thing anyway. We got a better mountain. We got a better worship. We got a better this. And so you got this pride going back and forth. And they realize that Jesus is wanting to come in and going to eat and deal with his disciples and whatever as he's passing through. And when they find that out, that he's not coming there to stay, they said, you can't come. You can't come. Now, it's a lot better now than it used to be. But I did a lot of traveling when I was younger. I was an evangelist, and I preached in a lot of meetings in lots of states, lots of places. It is amazing. See, today, you can go almost anywhere. You can go to any restaurant. You can go to almost any place, and you're received pretty well because the national law has changed a lot of things. But there were days going back, man, I've been in some places where you just weren't welcome if you just said the wrong word. And here it was, just like that. They won't receive him. Well, if you're not going to come here to stay, if you're headed to Jerusalem, well, we don't even want you. Don't even stop. You're going to Jerusalem, well, just keep on passing through. Don't hang in here. Steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. What a tragedy to miss out on a visit with Jesus. You know, sometimes there's a blessing coming your way. And sometimes your stubbornness, your prejudice, your pride gets in the way of your blessing. And these people right here missed out on the blessing. They said, no. And he went on and went on to another place. Now look at verse 54. Here's where some of you are. And when the disciples James and John saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? They won't let you eat in their house. Boom! Let's just smoke them, boy. We'll nuke them. Boom! Now, let me tell you, I have felt that way about some of you some days. Let's just nuke them. Yeah! Boy, I've sure felt in some of the battles I've been in over the years. I've been in a few battles, boy. And boy, You know, I've told you about Verlene, you know, there were days that she's just so sweet, just this honey drop, and I just eat her up, you know. Next day I wish I had. Because all her sweetness left, boom. Wasn't no honey there, just bitter old persimmons or something. In that life? Well, now, what are they talking about with Elijah? Now, Elijah is a mighty man of God with miracle-working power. You would think almost the greatest prophet, except what Jesus said about John the Baptist with his 6 months ministry. He said he's the greatest prophet. But Elijah's a big man. Woo, powerful man. One of the kings decided, get that prophet and bring him down to me. And he sent a captain and 50 soldiers. And the captain, man, he's one big shot. Now, did you spend any time in the military? Let me tell you, anybody that had a string on their arm was a big shot at times in my life. But boy, when you start hanging bars on their shoulders, and then you put a bird up there. Woo! Then you put stars. Woo! I remember refueling General LeMay's plane. I was a refueler. And I remember pulling up to General LeMay's plane. I am scared to death. I'm going to do something wrong. This is Curtis LeMay. I mean, this is the big man. He was mean as a snake. And if I just put the clip at the wrong place or put the gas in the wrong spot, you know, and inside that was a red carpet. He had a beautiful off-traveling office and whatever, and bedroom, the whole thing inside of a KC-137. Officers were big stuff. You're supposed to respect them. I mean, boy, they're an officer and a gentleman by an act of Congress. Not maybe by character, but by an act of Congress. This captain walks up to Elijah and said, hey, you preacher boy, come on down. My boss wants to see you. Step on it. Elijah said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. Boom! There ain't no captain, there ain't no 50 soldiers. Got barbecue. I mean, they've been smoked right there. I mean, atomic power back in the days of Elijah. The king said, where is that guy? I called for him. Hey, you take your 50. Go on out there. And this captain takes his 50 soldiers and he goes out there. Hey, you up there. You nothing. You know how preachers are thought of by most people? You nothing. You prophet. You man of God. God just says, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven. Boom! Now we got 2 captains and 100 soldiers dead by fire from heaven. And the king says, I still want to talk to that prophet. He calls another captain, said, you get your 50. You go get him. This guy was a little wiser than the others. He comes up to him and said, oh, man of God, have mercy upon me. I love it. I love the stories of Elijah. I tell you, he's one of my favorite prophets. Oh, man of God, have mercy upon me and my poor soldiers. I'm just doing my job. I mean, the king sent me out here to get you. Would you please go? There'll be no harm come to you. And Elijah went with him. Now, you know, that has got to be a tremendous story. Now, when I was a little kid, I got all these Bible stories. My grandmother would read them to me. My mother would read them to me. Others read them to me. And, boy, I loved Jonah and the whale. I loved Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go. And that's where my grandma read it to me. Shadrach, she taught me those names. Shadrach, Meshach, and under the bed we go instead of Abednego. Under the bed we go. And I love the stories of Elijah. Hey, don't you like to see power? We love power. Man, I like to see the hero crush the crook. I love to see him say something smart to him and he just wipe him out. Don't you do that? Vicarious violence? Well, see, I can't really do that. They put me in jail if I did what they do. But, you know, I can think about it. Now, I don't know how long old James and John been thinking about it, but they're one of these days, you know, one of these days, the right time's going to come and we're going to show we're the powerhouses. Hey, this bunch said, we don't want you in our village. Lord, you want us to call down fire from heaven? They've been doing miracles. They've commanded devils. This is at the end of his ministry. He's set to go. It's the last of his 3.5-year ministry. He's set to go to Jerusalem and die. These guys have been walking with power. I mean, they know they can speak things down. They can order devils to leave. They can heal diseases. They've done some wonderful things in the last 3 years. Their walk with Jesus has been an education in itself. Lord, wilt thou we call fire down from heaven? Well, now, I've had a lot of things done to me. I really hate to be lied about. I really don't like being lied about. It gets to me a little bit, you know. And many times in my life, especially when I was younger and hotter-headed than what I am, I'm not as hot-headed as I used to be. Some of you won't believe me, but that is the truth. I'm telling you, somebody say something about me, I'd go knock on their door. Sit down in their living room and say, I have heard thus and thus by so-and-so. Now, what do you say? And I have seen more crawdads. You know what crawdad? He backs up all the time. He just backs up all the time. I've seen him just back up. Oh, you got it wrong, preacher. Oh, you got it wrong. I never said it. Oh, I didn't mean that. I didn't say that. Now, every once in a while, somebody will go, yeah, I said it. Then we're in for it, you know. You ever get really mad? Somebody? Call fire down from heaven? Yeah. Lord, why do you let them live? Now, I've asked that question lots of times in my life. Why do you let them live? And the biggest one is the devil. Why do you let him live? Why is he still around? Because I know you can crush him. When I first got saved, I thought God and the devil were about equal. And that the reason why the devil was still around is because he was strong enough that God hadn't subdued him yet. But after I've been saved or I'll read this book, no. The devil is as nothing. God speaks the word. He is wiped out. The devil exists by the grace of God for God's own purpose. And I don't understand it all, except it gives you a test of your faith continually. And you don't get strong without tests. There's no way. I wanted to kill the devil. I've seen somebody hurt and destroyed and pain. And I wanted to kill the devil. I wanted to just beat him up. Do you ever have dreams where you just beat somebody up? Yeah, you do. You just crush them. I had a dream one time, that some of you can think something about this. There was a huge rabbit kept throwing me off a cliff. Now, I don't know what that dream means, but there was a huge rabbit kept throwing me off a cliff. And I would say in my dream, I'm not going to die this way, and I'd jump back up on the cliff. Now, I don't know how I jumped back up on the cliff. I guess I was watching too many cartoons or something. But you see, I didn't even have anything like that when I was a kid. I was 16 before I got the first TV. We had to read books. We had to read. I mean, that was the only entertainment you had was reading. Call fire down from heaven. Now, boy, that sounds like what a bunch of preachers I know would love to be able to do. All right, I'm going to preach to you guys down here in front of the Alamo today. You better pay attention. If you don't, I'm going to call fire down from heaven. Don't you go be spitting on me. Don't you be out there bad-mouthing me, talking to me. I'll call fire down from heaven on you today. I know you felt like it. When some scungy bum that has all sorts of diseases walks up and spits on your Bible, you know. Oh man, I'll call fire down from heaven on you. It is within our spirit. It is within our nature. We have this revenge. We have this, I don't want to let God pay them back. But you know, God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. He didn't say it won't be taken care of. It'll be overlooked. He said, I will repay. That's where faith comes in. You have to do the right thing and trust God to make it work. And so he says to them, verse 55, but he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. I think an awful lot of times in the Christian life, we forget what manner of spirit we are. When we're dealing with our loved ones, when dealing with our kids, we forget what manner of spirit we are. We've been called to be something else. In the church, so many times we forget what manner of spirit we've been called from. That would be, it seems like it's a funny thing. How in the world could the Spirit of God be in you and you forget what He likes? But we do. We go with our own spirit. We go with our own way. We go with our own mind. We go with our own vengeance. He said, you know what manner of spirit you have? You've forgotten something. You're dealing with the wrong spirit. What kind of spirit is the Holy Spirit? He said, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You know what kind of spirit you're of? The kind of spirit that saves men's lives. You're not out to destroy. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not against a policeman. I'm not against law. I want them to have power. I think we are the most fortunate people of history, Americans. And especially those of us that didn't have to fight for it, we just received it. We are the most fortunate people in history. Go around the world right today and see what your rights are. You don't have a whole lot of rights. Then take all history back. Now, most of us would not have been kings and queens and rich. And I know some of you trace your history to some king somewhere, but that's all right. Most of us would have been serfs or servants and poor boys. You wouldn't have the freedom to drive your 205 horses all over the place. You wouldn't have had 205 horses. The chances are you wouldn't have had a horse. Verlaine's sick, so I pulled out a bunch of the old slides. I put them on video, and we sat and watched them for a while, and we some of our pictures back in Guatemala, and here's this man riding a horse and his wife coming along with a nikapal, a head strap, you know, and a big load of wood on her back like that, you know. Dale has a joke that he says, you know, that he comes up to him and the guy says, "Why isn't your wife riding a horse?" He said, "She don't own a horse." He's riding a horse and she don't own a horse. You think you got it bad? Just go to another culture and see what. Just go back 150 years and then go back 6,000 years and take a look at life and people. You are so blessed with the freedoms that you have. And God has just given us such a wonderful place. And you know, I was thankful to say, you know, I don't have a horse. I got 205 under the hood of that car I got out there. And it's pretty good gas mileage too. You know, I'm thankful I drive a car. I'm lazy enough. I like air conditioning. I like telephones. Telephones are wonderful things. Can you do bad with a telephone? Of course you can. A lot of bad's done with a telephone. There were a lot of lies spread this week. There were people hurt. There were innuendos. There were slander. There was all sorts of garbage and trash this week over the telephone. But I love my telephone. You're the spirit that wants to bring life. Now when you get away from that, you're getting away from what God wants you to do. Now, I stand on some things. This church stands on some things. I think they're valuable. I think they're worth standing on. A lot of people don't like that. That's all right. I don't mind that too bad. But in all of our stands, don't let us get so cliquish. Don't let us get so self-centered. We forget the purpose we're here for. Preaching the gospel. You know, out of all the things we do, the one thing that sure is eternal is winning souls. Supporting missionaries that preach the gospel around the world. What is your money going to, by the way? Well, it ought to be helping some of these guys that are out there preaching in Poland every week. Mexico, Brazil, around the world. I tell you, I can't think of a better investment. I cannot think of a better investment. Boy, it's better than buying into Dell computer 10 years ago. Sure wished I'd have put $1,000 in Dell computer 10 years ago. I didn't even know what Dell computer was 10 years ago. Somebody did. Now they're millionaires. But the chances are if I became a millionaire, it'd mess me up. I wouldn't be my happy-go-lucky, lovely, sweet self. I might be very, very covetous. I might not even want to take you out to eat. I might want to make you buy the Coke. Stood to me. He said, "You know not what manner of spirit you're of." Do you know what manner of spirit you're of? Do you know? Does it hit you every day? The Spirit of God within me wants this out of me. The Spirit of God within me. This is His desire. Here's James and John, been walking with Him 3 years, and they're not understanding. The Spirit of God is a spirit of life. Not death, it's life. Take the Gospel of John. Read it again. Been a while since you read it. Read it again. And just take you a little pencil, lightly mark every time you see life in the Gospel of John. That one little 22 chapters, 22 pages. Life, 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 life. I'm alive. I'm more alive spiritually than I am physically. I'm alive. I'm more real spiritually than I am physically. I'm alive because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is in me. And my desire is that that life would be shared. There's so many people walking in death. How can I get so burdened about my car tires or my radio or my computer or some other little something? You realize most of the things we get ticked off about, fuss about, don't really matter. Most of the fusses and fights I've had over all my life, they were over nothing. Look at it a week later. Look at it. Just look back on it a week later and you were just being stupid. Are you saved today?
Amen.
I'm saved. I'm glad of it. Man, I got to change. Instead of the attitude I had, I got a different one. Life. You know what spirit you're of? Well, they didn't know. It says, and they went to another village. Well, now why didn't Jesus just stay there and just beat that village up and so make them do what he wanted them to do? Well, see, it's common sense. I had a big, good-looking, tough boy in one of my classes in school one year, I guess, 8th or 9th grader. And he was wanting to wear his hair a little bit longer than what the school wanted him to wear it. So he's going to make this fuss. Well, he's got himself in trouble enough that they're going to kick him out. He's going to lose a year. And I went to him and I talked to him. I said, you know, hey, taking a stand, standing up for your rights, those are wonderful things to do. I've done it a lot in my life. But do you realize that some things aren't worth the fight? They're not worth it. You will save yourself a lot of heartache if you'll pick your battles. I'm not saying don't fight. Some things you ought to got to fight over. Some things you just have to stand up for. Sometimes you just got to tough it out. I tried to teach my kids as they was going to school. I said, you know, I don't want you to fight. I grew up fighting, and my daddy taught me to fight. In fact, he was upset at me if I didn't fight. But I had a little different attitude when my boys were going to school. I said, if you walk away from a fight, walk away from it. Now then, if they won't let you walk away, make sure you hurt them. They're going to beat you up. That's all right. They'll win. But you bite their toe off or something. So that they say, I beat that kid up, but they don't want to come back and do it a second time. You understand? If you can walk away from it, walk away from it. If you have to fight, then bless your heart, suffer. Well, if I fight, they're going to suspend me for 3 days. Take your 3-day suspension. Your black eye will get better by then. Some things have to be fought over. You just have to sometimes stand up for something. But pick your battles. Pick your battles. Don't fight all the time. Don't fight over everything. Don't fight on one you can't win. Don't fight when you're losing all the way. And I talked to that kid, and he listened to me. Most of them don't, but he listened to me. I said, look, you're going to mess this up and this up and this up for nothing. It's a losing battle. You're not going to win. He said, you know, you're right. It's not worth the fight. And he got around all right. So personally, just go to another village. Go to another village. You know, you're fussing over the mouthwash in the bathroom. You're so poor, you only have one mouthwash in your bathroom. One person likes it, and the other person doesn't. You know, don't fuss over the mouthwash or the toothpaste. Just buy 2 tubes. It's not that expensive. And believe it or not, it'll last just as long, twice as long. You're choosing what, why make a fight over toothpaste? But I've had them. I've had a fight over toothpaste. I've had a fight over a mouthwash. I don't like certain kinds of mouthwash. Listerine, I think, tastes like, well, I won't tell you what it tastes like. I like Scope. I'm a Scope man. My wife is one of those sour Listerine persons. I can remember, I hate this stupid mouthwash. You know? Well, who cares? Buy your own. It's a whole lot simpler. And you avoided a fight, didn't you? Yeah. Hey, just go to another village. You said, bitch, went to another village. Sometimes just go to another village. You walk into a restaurant and you got a jerk for a waiter. He's a jerk. You ever had a jerk for a waiter? All of us have had jerks for waiters. I had one dumb Yankee telling me how my steak ought to be cooked. I said, who's eating this steak? You or me? Who's paying for this steak? You or me? If you want to eat yours bloody raw, go right ahead. I want mine well done. I don't want any blood running out of that thing. Well, you can't guarantee the steak. Well, you haven't got a very good cook then. You ever had somebody, just go to another restaurant. You don't have to take your chair and break out all the windows. Be sure you leave him 2 cents for a tip. Then he'll know you purposely remembered him. You didn't forget the tip. You just didn't like him. But hey, go to another village. Just go to another village. Sometimes walking away is really smart. And hey, you kids on the school grounds, boy, these things are going like that, just walk away. You look pretty cool, by the way. You don't look like a coward. You look pretty cool. Just walk to another village. That's what he did. So they went to another village. And it came to pass, pardon me, that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Boy, has Jesus heard a lot of that. Lord, 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 I'll follow you. Lord's called me for this. Lord's called me for that. Lord told me to do this. Lord told me to do that. The Lord's in this. I've heard that so many times, every time I hear it, I get scared. People tell me, Brother Lendell, I love you so much. I just love you so much. I'd never leave this place. Oh, that's dangerous, man. Be gone in a month. Don't make a statement like that. The devil say, we'll see how well you like him. You stick a pin in your tail end and you'll be flying out of here so quick, make your head swim. It's amazing. Lord, Lord, I'll follow you wherever. Just long as it's not Alaska, not Africa, not South America, not the Amazon, not... Lord, I will follow thee wherever. Lord, I love you so much, I'll do anything for you. Will you? Will you? Will you really? What will you do for the Lord that is any way inconvenient? People tell me, well, you really got a great church and we love to go there, but it's too far to drive. We live on the south side. When I needed a church, I drove to Austin, I drove to Houston, I drove to Dallas. I can remember going to Austin, that's 89 miles, something like that, for every service during the week, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And my kids passed their classes in school. See, it's a matter of what you want to do. But how many, if it's just a little inconvenient, If we didn't have air conditioning here, how many of you would come? If we didn't have these soft cushion chairs, how many of you would sit here for 2 hours? Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And then Jesus said, hey, pay attention. Foxes have holes. Does that help you any? Foxes have holes. Birds of the air have nests. Do you think he is not sarcastic? Sometimes I think Jesus is absolutely caustic. Boom. Lord, I'll follow you as long as you give me a big church and lots of money and a big parsonage and a new book every year. Oh, Lord, that sounds like a wonderful job for me. He said, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests. He said, I don't own a bed. I don't even carry a pillow. Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. Lord, I'm yours, boy. Lord, I'll follow you. He said, foxes have holes, birds of the air have nests. Son of man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, you, follow me. He said, okay, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, I know some people, when they're interpreting this, they have a real problem with that verse. They think the funeral is Saturday. And Jesus is being real persnickety here, telling him, you can't go to the funeral. That's not what he's saying. That's not what this guy's saying. This guy says, I will follow you when my obligation to my father ceases. Wait till my father dies. I have an obligation to my father. I'm the son. I've got to take care of this. I've got to take care of that. I've got to take care of the father. Let me bury my father. Then I'll follow you. How many of you got all sorts of excuses what you will do for the Lord when? Some of you would give half of the lottery to the Lord if you won it. But you won't give a tithe of the money in your pocket. Ooh, did I start preaching? Amen. Oh, I have fun. Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said, let the dead bury their dead. Remember, we're talking about life. We're talking about something worth more than tradition. We're talking about life. Let the dead bury their dead. Let the dead of this world worry about the dead of this world. You've got the commission of God. You have the word of God. You have the life of Christ inside of you. You go preach the gospel. Let the dead bury their dead. Go and preach the kingdom of God. Another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home in my house. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people have taken this verse, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God, and made it that you can't be saved. Not what he's talking about. He's talking about service. What's the problem with this guy? Well, he said, I'm ready to go. But a lot of buts are real problems. But, Lord, I want to preach, but. Lord, I want to be faithful, but. Lord, I want to give, but. Lord, I want to witness, but. Lord, I want my full family to be saved, but. I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. I don't want my mama to know I've left my religion. Well, I wouldn't want this and this. We've got all these buts, all these excuses. Now, hand of the plow, I'm the son of a farmer. I'm not a farmer. I don't grow anything very well, even in my garden. But I know, and I've used a plow, old plow, you know, that you hold it with two hands, cut the plow down there. And an old farmer told me, said, the simplest thing for this is, if you look back, you mess up your row. I'm plowing along. How well am I doing? I'm plowing along. I'd like to see how straight my row is. A good farmer that wants to plow a good row, he sets him a sight somewhere across. He might drive a stake. He might have a tree. He might have a fence post. He sets him a sight and he keeps his eye on. He doesn't just look at the birds and look at the squirrels. No. He sets his sights on a goal, a mark. And he goes towards that mark until he finishes his row. Now, when you look back at his row, it's a beautiful field. There's some Belgian farmers out here over 25, 36 that the old daddy, grandpa, whatever that I visited years and years ago. I guess all boys are up doing it now because they just got a lot more fields than they used to have. But that's the most beautiful farmland. I don't know what all they do with it, but man, I'm telling you, they got beautiful rows and hardly any weeds, and they plow right into the, almost to the road. I mean, good night. Those fellows know what they're doing. They take pride in what they're doing. You drive by some places, you know, and everything's just junked, laying around here and junked over there and something junked over there and weeds growing through this and whatever. Not that place. They take some pride in what they're doing. Well, Jesus said, you want to serve me? Put your hand to the plow and don't look back. Don't give excuses. Don't look back. Do the will of God. Do what God's called you to do. Keep on going towards the goal. Hey, listen, this life's over very quickly. I know some of you cannot realize that. I understand it because I couldn't either. And then I just woke up and I was old. It happened that fast. How did I have time to raise all those kids and do the things that I've done? I don't know, but I did. And then all of a sudden, it's gone. And you know when I'm headed for glory? Tomorrow sometime. I don't have a clue. I may not be strong enough to preach this year. I may not finish this year out. I might not be around next week. I don't have a clue. There may be a great big Mack truck, 18-wheeler, 22-wheeler coming down the road with my name on it. I don't have a clue about what tomorrow's going to bring. Listen, I can step out of here and something snap in my spine and I'll be crippled and lay in a hospital bed or a nursing home or something like that for the next 20 years. We don't know. Just put your hand to the plow. What you find to do, do it with your might. You're going to do it? Well, enjoy doing it. You know, I had a happy time when I was lost. I've had a happy time since I've been saved. Enjoy what you're doing. He said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Not fit for service. Not fit for work. Keep your mind on what you're doing. Aim towards the goal. Serve the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might. Do it with a good attitude. Do it with a good spirit. Build that marriage. Raise those kids. Preach that gospel. Build that church. Build that home. Whatever you're doing, do it for the glory of God. God bless you.